It's Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. It is hard to deny Wisconsin's love of cheese. Our nickname is America's Dairyland. We produce more cheese than any other state. And Wisconsin is home to some of the most award-winning cheesemakers in the world.
Many of these creameries are featured in the Wisconsin Cheese Cookbook, which takes a deep dive into the state's rich dairy history and highlights recipes from creameries throughout Wisconsin.
Christine Hansen is the author of the cookbook, and she joins Lake Effect's Joy Powers to talk about the book and the origins of Wisconsin's dairy industry.
If you look at a lot of the cheesemakers, particularly in Greene County and Monroe area, they are now maybe on their third or fourth generation of cheesemaking, but they learned those skills from their ancestors who came from Switzerland. So we can thank Switzerland for all of our wonderful cheese today.
It's funny, my boyfriend is from Greene County. He's from Monroe, Wisconsin, and we just went to Cheese Days this past year, which also makes an appearance in the back of your book.
Yes, yes.
As one of the many events surrounding cheese in the state of Wisconsin. And I was surprised by how Swiss they really are. You know, they really identify as being Swiss there.
Absolutely. If you drive down or walk, because it's quite small, New Glarus is downtown, you might actually think you're in Switzerland. It's pretty cool. There's a bakery, there's, of course, beer, and there's a real sense of a place farther than Wisconsin.
So I know that there were a lot of cultures that really impacted dairy in the state. What are some of the, you know, non-Swiss cultures that were also big in cheesemaking?
Sure. Well, Italy also has a big cheesemaking tradition, and Belgiosio up in Green Bay in the 70s, the president and founder of Belgiosio Cheese came over from Italy, and same story as the Swiss. He had cheesemaking in his blood, literally. And that's the story there. And what's interesting about that creamery in particular is that the cheesemaker he brought with still works at the creamery. And I was just so tickled to meet him on my visit up to the creamery.
So when you, which is amazing, by the way, but when you look at like Italian cheesemaking, Swiss cheesemaking, and I'm assuming German cheesemaking, what are the differences there?
What's interesting is there's not a lot of differences. It's not like just one country would say, you know, we make goat cheese and we do it the best. It's very different from the wine industry, which is what my background is in covering. So, for example, Cabernet Sauvignon grapes might not do well in a particular state or country and do well in others. But with cheese, it really seems to be, you know, as long as you have a really good, fresh milk source, one that you can access within a couple hours. And that's why Wisconsin cheese is so amazing, because it, not just like Switzerland, it goes back to the cows. So all of these cheesemakers are using milk either from their property or neighbor's property. They're not even traveling across the state with it, which is different than you can say for a lot of other food and agricultural industries.
Yeah. When we talk about the cheese that's coming out of Wisconsin, I think most people go, well, cow milk is what's making cheese here. But what is the breakdown? How much of our cheese is coming from cows? How much comes from goats, sheep?
Most of the cheese does come from cows, which is to be expected. But what I found in researching this book is there's a growing number of goat and sheep milk cheese producers. Sheep's milk is still pretty small. You'll find that more so in the Driftless region of part of the state. Two creameries in my book, Nordic Creamery, and another one I talked to but did not profile in the book, Hidden Springs Creamery. Those two are two good examples of sheep's milk. And then goat's milk seems to be rising in popularity, too. And I think that also has to do with our palates. And, you know, as foodies or home chefs, what we like to cook with and what we're seeing chefs cook with.
What's the difference in the flavor profile that you're going to have in those kinds of cheeses?
Sure. Well, it was interesting when I was reporting this book and visiting with the creameries, I found that my own understanding of cheese really evolved. Like, for example, like most people, I'm very much in love with fresh goat cheese, a chèvre, a log. And I knew that, obviously, that hard-aged goat's cheese existed, but I hadn't really tasted through the varieties. And La Claire Family Creamery up in Malone is a great example. In fact, those cheeses made by the daughter of the founders have won a lot of awards, not just here in the States, but internationally. And those are hard goat's milk cheeses as well.
What does a hard goat cheese taste like versus, you know, a hard cow cheese?
Sure. A lot of times you can't really taste the difference. And I think that really speaks to the skill of the cheesemaker and that they're trying to hit a certain flavor profile. I have to believe that a lot of these cheesemakers have food in mind when they're making these recipes. While there's nothing wrong with having a block of cheddar, a block of goat's cheese or what have you, it's also fun to play around with different recipes. Door County Creamery was one of the creameries I visited in my book, which, of course, is up in Door County in Sister Bay. And they have two types of breeds of goats on their farmstead. One is La Mancha. And what Jesse Johnson told me, who owns the creamery, is that he specifically picks those breeds based on the flavor profile of their milk. And that would include the fat content or sweetness or what have you.
This book features a number of different creameries around the state of Wisconsin. We're not just looking at the southern part or the northern part, but really, you know, the whole thing. What were some of your favorite creameries as you went around the state? And what were some that really stuck out to you?
Sure. Well, that's a difficult question, of course, because you're asking me to choose not only my favorite creamery, but my favorite cheese, maybe. But in terms of experiences, I really was impressed with two in particular that have a very strong visitor experience. So La Claire Family Creamery, they have goats you can see and perhaps even pet on property. I was so thrilled to see a day-old baby goat. As a person who lives in the city and did not grow up on a farm, I was just so tickled by that. They also have attached to the creamery, which you can view through glass walls, a cafe where you can enjoy different food items prepared with their cheese. So it'd be easy to spend a couple hours there. A similar experience I saw is up at Door County Creamery in Sister Bay. They have goat yoga, which is currently very trendy. They have what I like to think of as a very Sonoma type experience. I've spent a lot of time in Sonoma. And what you can do is taste the cheeses while looking at the goats on the pasture. I mean, it really doesn't get any more authentic farm to table than that.
Goat yoga sounds like it might be fun. Cow yoga, on the other hand, that could get dangerous.
I did not come across that in my research, and I probably would not recommend it.
So this book is full of a lot of different recipes. How did you curate them? Because I'm sure, you know, every creamery is going to have a dozen favorite recipes with their cheese. It's something that they work with every day, and most of them for their entire lives.
Well, I really, when I approach the creameries, I try to get them to think not just about what recipes you're releasing on your website or in your product brochures or at trade shows or chefs or whatnot. I really wanted them to think about, you know, what do you make at home with your cheeses? And maybe it's something that is not a written down recipe. It's in your head. Okay, let's work together to write it down. One great example is Belgiosio. They have the La Casata cake is something that the family enjoys every Easter in the spring. And then Sid Cook at Car Valley, one of the recipes that he provided is actually that of his 101-year-old mother. It's an apple pie with a sharp cheddar crust.
I noticed that recipe. I remember a long time ago hearing about a law in Wisconsin that you had to serve apple pie with sharp cheddar. It was this kind of joke thing that was on the internet. And it's such an interesting combination. What is that? It's such like a Wisconsin thing, that the sharp cheddar with apple pie.
Well, they both have, you know, some high acidity, and they just seem to work really well together. I mean, a lot of times you will see apples on cheese plates, chopped up apples along with other fruits. It makes sense.
One of the things I found very interesting about this book was it really didn't shy away from sweet. I think, like, when you get into Cheeseland, a lot of people think savory, but you have a lot of sweet recipes.
Exactly. I think we all know that cheese can be used to make mac and cheese, grilled cheese sandwiches, pizza, and all of those things are wonderful and things I enjoy on a regular basis. But I wanted to really have some dessert recipes. The apple pie we just talked about is one example. Another example is goat cheese brownies, which was provided by La Clara Family Creamery. And Door County Creamery as well, they have a chocolate dish with goat cheese that is super delicious. And so I wanted to really think about cheese as being a 24-hour ingredient. Not that you're going to stay up all night eating cheese, although that might actually be fun, and I would totally do that.
Done it before.
Exactly. Let's admit it. But thinking about, okay, in breakfast, maybe you want a Mediterranean quiche with cheese or biscuits, and then for lunch, a salad or flatbread. And then dinner, of course, there's the traditional recipes, but so much more. I have a recipe for cornmeal crusted fish tacos.
Interesting.
The cheese that's used with that has a mango habanero flavor, and that gives it a really nice bite.
We've already talked about, of course, the cultures that informed sort of our origins of cheese. But one of the people you profiled I thought was very interesting, her journey to cheese. Huma Siddiqui, am I saying her name?
Yes,
right? Huma Siddiqui. Tell me a bit about her story.
She, I actually found online. I mean, the power of the internet. I just kind of searched for different cheesemakers because I had not tried her cheese before. It's pretty limited distribution, but she's based in Madison and she is from Pakistan. So she's a really great example of a female entrepreneur. And the spices that she uses in her cheeses are, I mean, normally you would see those spices in the recipes from her native country, but she's added them to the cheese. And I just thought that was really interesting.
Yeah, and an interesting approach, mixing what is her home country with, you know, a very Wisconsin staple.
Exactly. I mean, she could easily make orange cheddar and call it a day, right? But she decided to have her own flavor, literally, in her cheese line.
The book actually introduced me to a couple recipes that I'd never heard of. One of them was, I'm going to massacre this, gougère, perhaps, like a choux pastry with cheese.
Yeah, we can thank the French for those. They're delicious.
And choux in general.
Right.
And you mentioned this before, La Cassata. So I Googled that, and it's this terrific-looking Italian cake with all of this, you know, accoutrement on the top.
Right, exactly. And that's from Belgiosio, which, as are all the recipes in my book, include the cheesemaker's products. So literally, you know that Belgiosio has all those products that are dairy-related, at least. But also, you know, there are going to be cases where maybe you can't find a particular cheese based on where you're shopping. And what I like about this book is that it's okay to use another blue cheese or another cheddar, particularly if you're listening and you're not in Wisconsin or Illinois or Iowa or Minnesota at all.
And they may not have them there.
Right, right.
Well, Christine, thank you so much for coming in and speaking with me today.
Thank you. This was really fun.
Christine Hansen is the author of the Wisconsin Cheese Cookbook, creamy, cheesy, sweet, and savory recipes from the state's best creameries. She spoke with Lake Effect's Troy Powers, and she'll talk more about her book this Friday at Boswell Book Company. There is more information at wuwm.com.